This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Cavs are fun again. They were fun yesterday. And you know what? We're going to have some fun today. Anthony Lima, Garrett Bush, audio courtesy of FanDuel. Owen giving me looks like you wouldn't believe. We're so happy to be here on a huge Cavaliers break the losing streak Monday. Garrett, welcome into the show. Kenny's off today.
Yeah, it was supposed to be doom and gloom. We were supposed to be out of here. We were supposed to do some numbers today.
Well, we were plotting during the first half.
Yeah, it was.
We were on the phone during the first half.
And then they just turned into the old Cavs. The old Cavalanche thing happened. And, yeah, they got busy out there. So, it looks like the Cavs are back to being fun again, right?
At least yesterday, against the Jazz, they have one more game on this West Coast trip. It seems like the West Coast trip, as it did when LeBron was here, even when you had the team, and maybe this is still the team, but even when it was LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, like, you had anxious moments when you would go out west. And because you had the MAC tournament, you had the NBA, you had the NCAA tournament. Because of that, you get, you know, rerouted out west for this trip. They still have one more game. They take on, Portland tomorrow night on the road, and then they come back for San Antonio. Finally, they can come back home. So you knew, I don't know, people were talking about chasing 66 wins and, you know, 70 wins. It was all sorts of craziness, and it was all the records and franchise records and all that stuff. I think everybody is kind of like, let's calm down a little bit. Let's recalibrate. And I think even the fans that were like, yeah, it'd be awesome to get the franchise record, which looks in doubt right now, that they'd have to almost win out. Garrett, I don't think anybody cares about that. I think it is a focus on bigger and better, smarter health. I think that's all the stuff, all the buzzwords people are talking about right now.
Yeah, I like the L's. I like those four L's in a row because what it did, it brought you right back down to earth. All that good talk about franchise wins and we about to break this record and can't nobody, people laughing and doing all that good stuff. And they realized really quickly, they lost to Orlando at home. And they said, hold on. Hey, you guys can lose. Orlando feels like they got your number a little bit. Then you go out west and you get to Kevin Durant that looks like Kevin Durant, the old KD. Then Kawhi Leonard turned back and James Harden played well in those games. So it's like, you know, when you have those four losses, now the coach can come in and say, I told y'all, I told you you gotta rotate on defense. I told you gotta still have energy if your 3-point shot isn't falling down. And I think it does a good job of not only resetting the team, but it resets the fans and their mentality of this thing is gonna be a little more difficult than we thought.
Well, you're getting the typical, for the people that really know the NBA, they laugh about March every year. They're like, man, you guys read way too much. The casual fan reads way too much into March. And normally, because of March Madness, the NBA kind of takes a back burner. You see the tanking teams, they really understand what the mission is. And the really good teams, especially if they're slotted, like this year, it seems like the Cavs have been slotted at 1, Boston slotted at 2, Knicks at 3. Mm-hmm. And in the East, it's kind of seemed that way, where you heard Atkinson even speak to it last night. Like, yeah, we're focused on switching up rotations. You're going to see some stuff you might not necessarily see, because it's all about a playoff run, you know, even though you have still plenty of games left.
Yeah, it seems like it's been slotted for like months now. Like, the New York Knicks aren't going to make a run at it. Boston almost seems to have almost like said, yeah, we have come to the conclusion that we're not going to catch the Cavs, but then again, we don't need to. They have playoff pedigree. They got 5 or 6 dudes, it seems like, that's on an Olympic team. They know what pressure is. They know what that feels like. So they feel that they're good 1, 2, 3, or 4, wherever they're slotted in the East. They feel that they got a good opportunity to come out.
So I want to get to some sound here in just a second. But G. Bush, we haven't had you in a while, at least in this time slot with me. And so I'm really curious, because on Friday, this show, we were all unanimous. We were not panicked. We were not losing our minds. You know, there were some developing trends when it comes to the backcourt that, all right, let's hope this is just some temporary regression, maybe just a shooting slump. You know, it's been amazing how the Cavs have just had so few of those this year from anybody on their team. They've always had different guys to pick it up. But when they lost that Phoenix game on Friday night, I mean, Phoenix shot well. But we're not just going to chalk every game up to, well, they shot well and we didn't. Like, Phoenix just looked better.
Yeah.
Like, they looked like the Phoenix that had everybody going nuts when they traded for Kevin Durant and they were going to pair with Booker. Like, it just looked like a better team. I thought the Clippers game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, and again, Clippers made shots. I felt like the Clippers, you're like, if you had not watched basketball all year and that was the only game you'd watch, you'd be like, yeah, they got Kawhi and they're just better.
It was weird to see
the Cavs kind of get pushed around on this trip. You expect some dead legs like that. That happens to teams when they go coast to coast. Same thing when the West Coast teams go to the East. Like, that's fine. I'm willing to, like, you're going to miss maybe more shots. Maybe shots are coming up short, whatever. But that was the only thing that was a little alarming, was, man, those teams, like, if we had to play those teams in a series, who's guarding Kevin Durant? Who's guarding Kawhi Leonard? You might have made a trade that I think absolutely elevated your team, but still nobody can guard those guys.
It's one of those things where, you know, Kawhi Leonard, like, that was the alarming one. I was like, oh, Kawhi hitting that? Okay,
Kawhi. It wasn't Kevin Durant's 18 in the third quarter?
I said, oh, KD looks really motivated today. I think where I come off with the Cavs is this. I don't think that we're going to learn anything, or a blowout win over the Jazz is not going to make you feel better. That was supposed to happen. That was on the schedule. And we knew probably that they were going to come back and bounce back from that a little bit, even though the first half was kind of a little touch and go. Now, here's the thing. When you get to these playoff games and when you start to see the good teams, the Celtics, the Knicks, you take a look at a bunch of teams, the Lakers. You can go back out and look at the Denver Nuggets, the Oklahoma City Thunder. When you start dealing with the great teams, that have playoff pedigree, you're automatically going to give them the nod of the cap, because those guys know they could go to another level and turn it up a little bit and say, well, listen, in a 7-game series, are you going to beat Luka or LeBron? It's tough. 7 games, can you mess with KD? Not when he's shooting like that. You're going to have to play. And for the Cavs, we haven't seen some of our guys ascend to that level where it was like, oh, if Donovan Mitchell plays like that, you're not winning. We've seen Tatum do it. We've seen Jaylen Brown do it, but we've yet to see a Darius Garland or Evan Mobley just take over a series and just be like, yeah, you guys are, we're better than you.
Yeah, I've seen Donovan take over some series. I've also seen him have some rough series just shooting-wise where next thing you know, Jalen Brunson's out playing him.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that happen in two different series. So Donovan is kind of a roller coaster, but I do know he has the Celtics number. I know he's in their heads a little bit. Darius is has a lot to prove.
Yes.
Come playoff time.
A bunch. Even Donovan, I think Donovan knows, like, yeah, like I'm doing my thing, and I know that I really step up against the Celtics. But for him, it's getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's beating the Celtics because he's on that tier where, yeah, Donovan Mitchell was good, but he's not seen as Tatum. He's not seen as Brown. He's not seen as Luka or some of these other guys. And for him to get there, he has to put the team on his back and say, oh, I beat the Celtics in a series that counts. And you bring up a very good point about Darius Garland. As a number two, it's a lot to be desired. When you put that pressure on him, he gives the ball up a little bit. He's a little less efficient in hitting the runner later in the season. And then we talked about it a little bit yesterday. When the playoffs come, his game does not translate to the playoffs because they're going to be more physical on the ball. They're going to let them play a little more physical, bumping and different things like that. And if he can't hit that teardrop, if he can't get to the lane and get the lob and get bigs involved, it's tough to just have the whole defense looking at you and knowing what you're going to do and put points on the board.
216-474-0092. We got plenty to talk today. We're obviously going to get some big Browns rumors, another rumored wide receiver trade. We've seen Andrew Berry do that from time to time. We got March Madness. I want to know if it's the same to you. If March, what did you think of the opening weekend of the tournament as we had games right here in Cleveland? We welcome people probably heading to the airport from Alabama, getting the hell out of here. You got Michigan State fans that are making their way out. Mitch was there. In fact, we might have a whole segment devoted to Mitch at the Madness. And then we've got Danny Cunningham. We've got Daryl Ryder coming up later today. Danny at 7:20. Daryl at 8. We've been talking about fun, right? You heard yesterday during that Cavs broadcast the entire day it was about, you know what? We were gonna have a grueling practice and things kind of changed. Kenny Atkinson kind of spoke to that. And did you see anything change with that team? Here's the head coach of the Cavs.
There's so many checks and balances in this league. You dive deeper into the whys of the losses, both analytically and film, and then you feel your locker room and see how the guys are feeling about it, and obviously your coaching staff. And that was part of the fun practice yesterday. Didn't help us make shots, that's for sure, but, you know, just sometimes you got to lighten the mood at this point in the season. So we definitely didn't overreact, because I think if we were reacting to it, we would have had a tough practice yesterday.
All right, he says they're not overreacting to it. I have seen, it's the social media, there's always the push and pull, there's always the Homer fans versus the trolls and the cynics and the haters. And so I watch these conversations play out over the weekend. I run it by then real people in real life to see what people are saying about these things. I'm not getting panic from anybody, but I wonder if anybody is recalibrating and they wonder if, look, the Celtics are healthy and the Cavs are healthy. Could be a really fun series, but in the end, it's still going to be the defending champs.
I think the recalibration happens because no matter what the Celtics do, if they win or lose games, I think what basketball fans want is a style of basketball that they can see and they can get used to and understand that that's how they're going to play. The Celtics are the Celtics. They don't play differently compared to if they're playing the Cavs or the Sixers or the Thunder. They play their style of basketball. But for the Cavs, it seems when the Cavs play teams that are a little bit tougher, a little more physical, there seems to be a difference in the way they play the game. And if shots aren't falling for the Cavs, there's a lot of pieces and parts to their game that seem to tail off depending on whether they're making shots or not. And that's the little scary thing that happens where you're kind of like, I don't know if this was the playoffs, we can get that off.
Yeah, I know, like, Owen, you had said for months, it seems, that you didn't care anymore about the regular season just because the Cavs had been playing at such a level. Look at the rest of the Eastern Conference. Everybody's kind of slotted. I mean, the Cavs getting back on track yesterday got them to where the cushion is five. They're at five right now, still over Boston. Boston, to me, put up the white flag a month ago on the number one seed. So I don't think you're going to see them go into overdrive or anything to try to steal that away.
There's 11 games left, so Cavs would have to go 5-6, and Boston went out for them to outright win.
So basically, the Cavs have to have an injury. Yeah, like, yeah. That's the only way. But again, Boston, if you look at the way they've been managing minutes, so this is going to be, you know, the Cavs are going to be a one seed. If anything, they've played their way to where it's going to be hard for them to get the number one overall seed.
Yes.
Right now, it's a 2-game lead for Oklahoma City. I'm not sure who has the tiebreaker because
they split the
head-to-head. So whatever the next tiebreaker is, Mitch, look into that. But because that could be important. Because
maybe they
could
just line up and play horse against each other.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because that's apparently what got them back on track yesterday.
Play horse now.
Did you, Garrett? Was it horse for you, or did you have another? Did you have a word you can't say on the radio? We had words we couldn't say on the radio that we used to use.
We used to do cow.
Because you just were bored of the game and you wanted it over faster?
Yeah, it was quick. It was quicker. So cow was like, yeah, get up out of here. Like, give me somebody else up in here. We used to actually play, I don't know what they call it now. It used to be like kind of King of the Hill. It would be three dribble continuous one-on-one. So you kind of see some of the guys do it in the Olympic, or not the Olympics. So you're on the Olympic team, though. They'll get the ball at the top of the key, got three dribbles to get where you're going to go, and you pull up. If you score, you stay on. If you lose, you're off. And then if you do get a stop, if they miss the shot, the guy on defense goes offense. So we used to do that all the time, like, you know, just trying to work out the kinks a little bit.
Did it get physical?
Yeah, it got physical because you only had three dribbles. Like you ain't have all the time in the world to get to where you want to go to.
I hated horse. I do wonder what an NBA game of horse would look like with premier shot makers and these guys can, you know, shoot from anywhere. Like, what's your go-to? Where are you going to, like, end a run or to seize control of a horse matchup? Where the hell is Donovan Mitchell? Donovan Mitchell can shoot a normal three-pointer from half court.
Right.
Just pull up normally.
Everybody has unlimited range. That's why I don't think people play cow or horse or none of that no more. They were just like, all right, let's play one-on-one, three dribbles. Let's see who wins. And, you know, play to five or something. But, yeah, guys can pull up. By the way, have you seen a guy named Lethal Shooter on the internet?
No.
Dude, you got to check him out.
Know what I'm doing during the break.
Lethal Shooter.
Yeah, I mean, just the nickname alone.
I've only seen Brian Scalabrine elbow an old guy.
Hey, there's a guy named Lethal Shooter who does these NBA trick shots. He beat this, like, Japanese robot. It was a Japanese robot that is calibrated to not miss any threes, and it doesn't. Lethal Shooter beat him.
Give the robot.
Garrett Bush, everyone. Yeah. We've made it to the point in the show. I've always wondered what Garrett was going to bring that is off the beaten path, and there it is. Japanese robot basketball.
After that lengthy, comprehensive Cavalier discussion, the struggles on the West Coast trip, I'm getting more texts about you playing cow instead of horse.
Yeah.
Or pig. We always played pig.
Yeah. What's that? That was our go-to.
Yeah.
That was the word. Cow. That was the word I can say on the radio.
Hey, man, a pig, that's that high blood pressure. We gotta stick to the cow, you know what I'm saying? None of that swine. Even though I do eat pork. No.
It's good.
Pork chops are great.
Did you, Garrett, by the way, with Garrett Bush today, Lima, Mitch is back. We're going to have a whole segment later in the show. Mitch was at March Madness yesterday in Cleveland at the NCAA tournament, a weird tournament to where there were finally some great moments down the stretch. Finally got a buzzer beater yesterday. That was awesome. No Cinderellas. No Cinderellas whatsoever. He did have McNeese State. That was about it. I had another conversation about that I wanted to get.
Yeah, we got to get to
that. I finally felt comfortable talking to you about Owen is in. He was watching wrestling all weekend long, too. I promise we'll get to that in Lima Likes. But I did see a rumor yesterday. And look, Brandon Ayuk has been on the trade block. Now, basically, they signed the contract. I felt like they might trade him before he signed the contract. Then he signed the contract. Then it was off to the races again. Then he tore his ACL last year. It was kind of a season from hell for him. You know, oftentimes, Kyle Shanahan, he will run guys into the ground. And then it's like, yeah, does anybody else want him now? Like, you've outlived your purpose here.
Yeah, Debo Samuel playing fullback.
Yeah, Debo, another one. I mean, they will do everything they can to extract every last ounce of football out of you. And then they they make him available. And I think it's pretty telling that nobody is bit. I mean, there were rumors that, well, third round pick, which, as they typically say, the way these things work, if they're asking for a third, they take a fourth.
Right.
And nobody wants him. Now, he has a contract, too.
120-some million dollar deal. Mm-hmm. $31 million. I don't know, man. Coming off of ACL, that sounds like Odell Beckham to me.
But they said the cap hit's only 6.15 this year, and we don't care about actual numbers anymore. We only care about cap hit.
And we don't care about stuff in the future.
No.
Because the cap goes up.
All the time.
So
that's why it's a myth, Anthony.
I think it's pretty telling that they have made it known to everybody. Who wants him? Come and get him.
You think he's
Nobody's
washed?
Nobody's wanted him.
Is he washed?
I am I'm trying to think how I put it with some buddies I was texting with yesterday, and I was like, we're really going after him. We're really going after this dude after these injuries. That wasn't just a simple ACL last year. I think he had meniscus. I think he had other stuff going on. So the names, Jerry Jeudy, after his huge, huge bounce back year. Jerry Jeudy, Brandon Ayuk. Maybe Njoku responds. I don't think this makes a ton of sense for the Browns.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
I think this is one of those in name only situations that people salivate over. They start, hey, I've heard of him. Hey, I've seen him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I've seen him in big playoff games. And he's what, 26, 27? Like, so, Garrett, I think you could tell by the tone of my voice. I don't love this. I also wonder if it matters until they get a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't love it for the fact that he tore his ACL, I think, week 7. Mm-hmm. His PFF grade was like 70-something, which is 77, I think, was the lowest of his career. And he just got the deal. So now he's not probably not going to be ready to go at the start of camp. And for me, I don't want no parts of what they did last year. I need everybody ready to go. Jed Wills, Conklin, DeJuan Jones. Listen, Njoku, if you guys are playing for the Cleveland Browns, get ready. The offseason program a little bit different, dog. Ain't none of that. Just what we just gonna get your get our guys to week one and figure out. No, we don't need to be figuring it out. I need my guys ready. And Brandon Ayuk is not gonna be ready. And I don't even know. He was never super explosive to begin with. Like, he wasn't like, oh my gosh, Brandon Ayuk's out here. Yeah, I mean, he runs his dig routes and he deep comebacks and okay, catches the football pretty good. But nah, man, I'm cool on that. I'm straight. Nah, I ain't doing that.
So I know that because the one thing you try to look for traits. Andrew Berry's been here long enough now, where you try to see what are they good at, what are they bad at, and it's tough. The conversation is always tough because they have 3 years of no first round picks. Mm-hmm. So those are players we could have graded, evaluated, and checked them against the rest of the NFL. Instead, we're dealing with all players in rounds after that, where the hit rate goes down exponentially no matter who you are, no matter if you're Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah.
It is prime of picking players.
And then you got Greg Newsome and Jed Wills, and that that's Minimoski. That just seems like that's middle of the road. We had a dude talk about business decisions last year and was more known for his memes of not blocking nobody off the line of scrimmage. And you got Greg Newsome. I think how many picks he's got? He's been, what, 5 years? He has one interception. One or two. I mean, he had a big win against Baltimore, but, you know, sometimes still has these, you know, these brain farts where he leaves guys open in the secondary and it's always some safety and him and Denzel Ward looking at each other. It's just like, yeah, the first round picks are leave a lot to be desired. And at least you can look at Andrew Berry and say, well, his trades ain't that bad, though. We fleeced him for Amari Cooper and then got him up out of town.
Incredible.
And got like he's good at that.
Doubled up on it. Not only was the Amari Cooper move great, the fact that they got rid of him to a desperate team that ended up there was no chemistry, then he was banged up, didn't work out at all for the Buffalo Bills.
Still on the market.
Yeah.
Right. Like
right. Right.
So it's like he does a good job of getting trades done and moving on guys when he is supposed to. So for me, it gives you more of a, I guess it puts a battery in your back if, as being the self-proclaimed Duke of knee jerk to be like, well, maybe he knows something I don't. Maybe we could get Brandon Ayuk. And we've been looking for two receivers forever, right? Like we've been trying to get this Cincinnati Bengal thing going and it just doesn't seem to work. We just don't do receivers well.
Now, I don't know what to do with the Elijah Moore situation because it wasn't – it was a weird trade because you're technically just trading down. You're staying in the round, whatever. But Elijah Moore has yeah. really just been, for the most part, ineffective since he was abroad. And, again, he's on the market, right? He's a free agent.
You know what?
I haven't even seen rumors about Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore, listen, that was fool's gold. I was sold on Elijah Moore. I was actually sold on his athleticism, and it never happened. Like, they just – remember the 1 year they just started running reverses with him, and we quickly realized that that wasn't his game? Like, he's getting caught from behind.
I was always wondering, was that just a total – sometimes, look, there are misevaluations. Was that a total misevaluation from the get-go? Did they think he was someone else?
I thought – I'm like, did you think he was Travis Benjamin? It was like, listen, get that Travis Benjamin out here, and we're going to run reverses and do some things. He's one of a Percy Harvin type. And it was like, no, it was evident from the beginning that he was not a very quick or athletic guy in open space. And it was just like, okay, we got this smallish receiver, and we're going to have him run short digs and short slants. That's it.
Yeah, I think what always boils down to is there's so many really good wide receivers that are in the draft every year now. I feel like for 5 straight years, there have been so many guys that you could take and have a pretty good hit rate of. And unfortunately, they just have fallen short of that. People have asked me, am I giving up on Tillman? I'm not giving up on him. I saw some good things. I definitely saw some good things out of him. But, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be a game breaker.
No.
Game changing type of wide receiver talent.
I mean, I saw some nice stuff from him. Then he just abruptly missed 7 games. Like, was gone. Like, I'm like, I think he was in a concussion protocol. And I'm like, wow, like that's a long time.
Just when you thought he was finally, they were finally showing some signs. Because, I mean, him and Deshaun, there was nothing. There was zero chemistry. There was very little chemistry with Deshaun and anybody. Mm-mm. So you were hoping that, you know, new quarterback, any combination of quarterbacks could help out. It's the thing that I know Browns fans, we all, it's not just Browns fans, it's everybody around the NFL. They sink their teeth into names. And Ayuk has been a name now for a while. In the NFL, they've had him up in trade talks forever. Now, should that stop them? And Jerry Jeudy was in trade talks for a year and a half. And finally, the Browns go and get him, and then it's instant production. Like, everything changed, especially when Jameis came in last year.
Does Lima like?
Or does Lima know like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like? Like or no like?
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
Well, I got a slew of Lima likes. I got one to start out.
Lima no like.
I did not understand at all. Mitch just came in here to explain the tiebreaker for who would get the number one overall seed because we're two games behind the Thunder. But I'm like, what if we can even up things down the stretch? Like, Shai Gilgeous was terrible last night, but they won barely. Oklahoma City, so they have a two-game edge on us. And Mitch, head-to-head we know is split. What is after head-to-head?
So if the Cavs tie the Thunder for best overall record, they can clinch home court advantage if they have a better conference record, a better record in the East than the Thunder do in the West.
Oh, you use the term intra as opposed to inter.
Well, that's the term conference. The Cavs Reddit used when I copy and pasted the terminology over.
But as I understand intra, then I was jumping to think, oh, it's our record against the Western Conference and their record against the Eastern Conference, because I was thinking of a different definition of intra.
And the Cavs had the advantage right now. It's 38-8 the Cavs are in the East versus the Thunder's 33-11.
Oh, wow. That's crazy that they'd have that kind of an edge. I would have thought the teams would be right there considering the dominance of both teams all throughout the season.
I had to Google intra does mean in your conference. Inter means in the other conference. Makes no sense.
The way that I was looking at it was completely different. So my mistake, but thank you, Mitch. I appreciate that.
Like intranet and internet.
Yeah.
Intranet.
I don't like NL this.
Intranet is like your portal where you log in to do meaningless things by the company.
Well, what did Al Gore call it again?
Oh. He invented pants.
Right.
All right. Overall, I will say the tournament did make a comeback.
Lima likes.
Because I was originally going to come in and do
Lima no likes.
Because, Garrett, we talked on the phone yesterday about the tourney. And then all of a sudden, after we got off the phone, things heated up as that Maryland game, the back and forth. I guess the only difference was that wasn't a first round game. Normally, we remember all the buzzer beaters we remember in the tournament. They're almost always first rounders.
All the Valparaiso first rounders.
Yeah.
We remember all those George Mason first rounders. Mm-hmm. Lehigh first round against Duke.
Like, oh, yeah. Here's what happened yesterday. Is this Maryland
Westwood
1 down the stretch?
Gillespie looking to throw it in. Gets it up top to Queen. Dribbling left. Big step down the lane. Runner for the win. Baked it in! He baked it in! And Maryland has won! Maryland is going to the Sweet 16!
All right, that was, again, courtesy of Westwood 1, and it was against Colorado State. Colorado State had just come down. There were, like, a bunch of lead changes. Colorado State had a 12-point lead in that game. They had just taken a three with about 3.6 seconds left to go up, and they were showing the Maryland fans. Yeah. And I was like, that has to suck so bad. Nobody thinks they're going to win. Nobody thinks they got a shot. They did advance it because, in college, you have to get it to half court. You can't just call a timeout and magically
appear
warp to the front to the front court. And then they go to them. And then after the game, amazing shot. They go to the crew, I think it was the TNT crew, and they're all going nuts about this end of the game. And I'm watching the replay, I'm like, well, he definitely traveled.
Yeah.
But
did we get into a whole conversation
100%
off there?
100% travel.
Right. Like, it was a travel, but
mentioned it.
Are you going to wipe that away? You're not going to wipe that away. No, it's already in. No, we're not going to do that.
I imagine the Colorado State fans were talking about whether it was a travel or not, but no one cares because it's Colorado State.
Is there anything, is now with NIL and guys moving around so much, is there ever a such thing as a Cinderella, a true Cinderella? Like, because that Cinderella team might have, like, a transfer from Virginia Tech. Like, I got a transfer from there in New Mexico State, their seniors. How big
am I supposed to, I get where you're going. Am I supposed to call Arkansas the plucky upstart Razorbacks with the coach that makes $8 million a year, probably after endorsements and everything, $10 million a year.
With that nice little suit jacket he had on the other day, I liked the suit jacket.
What did you think was the motivating factor there? Did you see what the internet was saying about why he was wearing what looked to be an Italian table spread? It looked to be the Italian tablecloth that, you know, his rival, his longtime rival, Rick Pitino, has kind of a famous story regarding.
I heard these dudes don't really like them. It ain't, it's like real, like, no, if I see you on the street, it's on site. Like, in front of boosters, alumni, it doesn't matter. They don't like each other like that.
I love that. Pat Forty had a great article detailing 30 years of rivalry. Which I thought was pretty amazing to think about where all those coaches had been, the start of their careers, how actually Pitino took credit for the start of Calipari's career, and that he also like cut a check, and Calipari's like, I guess, I don't know that story. Like it kind of
just played him.
Both of these dudes have had a rivalry for a really long time, which is pretty cool. Also pretty cool.
I'm alive.
Tanner Bibee. Inking the deal with the Guardians, the contract, 5 years, $58 million, wipes out the arbitration years. This is a pretty big deal. This is a big deal because you're looking at the later years of that deal, like $20 million a year. That's nothing for what could be an ace and for the guy that wanted the ball and got the ball for opening day for the Guardians, which is a big honor.
The Guardians have done it again. Every 4 or 5 years, they fleece one of their best players to sign the home deal. The last person that got fleeced was Jose Ramirez.
Use the word fleece, Garrett.
He got fleeced.
Those are hometown discounts, bud.
Those are Indians bucks. They're playing him and Indians bucks that he can give to his fans and family to go get the new Guardians gear. And no. 48, that is cheap. That's pennies on the dollar. What was he thinking? I don't know why he signed that. Why would you sign
because
that?
Because he's got to factor in his Tommy John years.
All of them.
Pitchers, that's probably true.
It sucks to say, but they do use it against
you. Did you not hear Jameis Winston tell us 90 best days of the year right here in Cleveland, Ohio?
Yes. And he's in the summer.
Right.
Yeah. He gets to play here in the summer.
What's better than Cleveland in the summer?
You think Jose Ramirez is here if the seasons were different?
Yeah.
I think Tristan McKenzie tapped on his shoulder. He said, hey, what you think about this deal? Tristan was like, hey, get it done.
Speaking of.
I'm a no like.
Yeah, rotation's set now for the Guardians and Tristan McKenzie on the outside looking in. He's going to be a bullpen arm. Logan Allen is the fifth arm. Logan Allen, who's been abysmal, you know, for the Guardians, and that's how down they are in Tristan McKenzie.
Stephen Vogt talking about he's a different guy. Yeah. Different guy. Logan
was
different
guy. We're not going to use our fifth starter at the beginning of the year. So.
True. How long? When do you think?
It's the way the schedule shakes out. Like, they play a game, then they have an off day.
That's true.
And then they play a series, and then they have an off day, and so it'll kind of work out that you might not see that fifth starter until like game 20 or something.
Man. Still can't get. I feel sorry for Tristan McKenzie. How far we've come. He was right before signing a nice little deal. You know, he has the injury. I wonder, do you think he would have, if he could go back and do it again, he would have had Tommy John?
Yes.
1,000%.
Yes.
Yes.
Would have had three Tommy Johns.
Man, that's wild.
He would have done back to back to back.
Tommy John.
Let everybody know, too, as we got more news.
I'm alive.
The Nolan Jones, former number one overall, coming back. Guardians got rid of Tyler Freeman in a trade. I don't know what it means for Will Brennan. Probably means he's, I hope he's renting. Because I don't think Will Brennan's going to be here much longer.
They call him Renton Will Brennan.
Yeah, well, they had the glut of utility guys, and now it's like they got too many outfielders when they, in a right field, they were always looking for somebody.
Shortstops and center and right last year for the majority of the year.
Listen, I haven't even gotten a chance to talk to you. I was looking forward to talking to Guardians with Owen. I just don't know what they're doing. I'm confused as to the whole offseason. I'm confused. I don't know.
All right, well, hold that thought. And also, if you want more on this, the Dairy Brothers podcast, they've got Tom Hamilton on the most recent episode. So I've got it downloaded. Of course, that is
Shout
an Odyssey podcast right here that you can access at our app. And Owen, I know we got to go.
I've got audio we got to play.
You called it the biggest wrestling match. So I'll give this an Owen likes.
Owen likes. Okay, so Wyatt Hendrickson, Gable Steveson. Gable Steveson has won. Not only has he won two national championships. He won a gold medal at the Olympics. Wyatt Hendrickson was an Air Force Academy guy that had an extra year, so he went to Oklahoma State, and he had a huge takedown. What made it great, though, was the WWE-like atmosphere. When he walked out, normally guys just stand there and wait for their opponent. Stevenson was up in his face, following him around the mat. And then he had a huge takedown near the end of it. And then a guy that a lot of people know, not from wrestling but from MMA, Daniel Cormier, was on the call. He had a great call. We're going to play it.
30 seconds left.
I mean, did anything sound like that at the NCAA tournament?
Ever.
Did anything sound like that? Audio courtesy of ESPN. Owen, I saw it on social media. Even I don't know a ton about wrestling.
Yeah.
Even though I've broadcasted a few wrestling events in my time. I had the number one team in the country when I was in upstate New York. That was amazing. That was an absolute amazing flourish at the end.
It was that's great. There's a ton of little things that I could get into about the broadcast itself. It was that. I'm gonna jump over here one more time.
Do you want to do a podcast on
this?
My God.
There's one more bit of audio you got to hear. The reason why it was great was because of Daniel Cormier. There's a guy named Lucas Bird. He's from Illinois. He won at 133 pounds. He's 5'5". His girlfriend's 6'3".
Hey, look at Bird's girlfriend over there. She's 6'3". Bird's got a 6'3" girlfriend. Look at him. He like 5'5". TikTok. You can't see her head. She's hugging his parents.
A lot of visualization going on right now. Garrett, you're a tall guy. What are you, 6'4"?
About 6'foot. If I keep having surgery, I used to be 6'5", but I used to be ready to go.
the amazing shrinking Garrett. Yeah, all right, does that upset you when the tall girls get taken off the board?
Listen. I had grander thoughts of having another rush end. With a volleyball or basketball girl, with a single digit visor, slim waist, Thundercat, long flowing hair. And then that all changed because my wife is from the Philippines and she's like 4-something. We're dealing with now, the most we're looking for is Francisco Lindor now. We got a Lindor or some sort of, second baseman or Kwan. That's what we're doing.
See, we were going to talk whether our backcourt is big enough with Danny Cunningham. I didn't know we'd get into this much size earlier in the show. King.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.